food commercials. According to her fiancé, FBI Special Agent in Charge Avery Hill.
I understand.
Sam knew she did and appreciated it. I gotta go. She kissed baby Noah's cheek and squeezed Shelby's arm. You guys have a good day.
You too. Good luck with the case.
Thanks. We're going to need it. On her way out, Sam nodded to Melinda, the agent she called Secret Service Barbie. Good morning, Mrs. Capuano.
Good morning.
Sam brushed by her and down the ramp, eager to get to the scene and help Freddie. She felt a tiny bit guilty for being less than friendly to the agent, who was only doing her job. Something about her bugged Sam. Probably the fact that such a stunningly gorgeous woman was paid to watch her smoking hot husband. You're an idiot, she muttered to herself, as she got in the car and headed for the checkpoint. The agents waved her through, and she directed the car toward Woodley Park, giving thanks to whoever invented Labor Day and gave the federal workforce the day off. Traffic was all but non-existent. She drove and brooded over why she couldn't stand Melinda. That was better than brooding over the remote possibility that she could be pregnant. Again. If it were true, this would be the sixth time. 5 miscarriages later, she'd learned to manage her expectations. The last one, which had been Nick's baby, had been the worst of all. She wanted nothing more than to give him the family he'd never had. He said that she and Scotty were all the family he needed, but she still held out hope that maybe, just maybe, they might get lucky one more time. She breathed her way through the emotions this topic always roused in her. Sadness, disappointment, despair, and inadequacy. That last one particularly rankled, as she was known for being more than adequate at her job, yet was unable to carry a baby to term. The thing that came so naturally to women all over the world was seemingly impossible for her. You can't spend the whole day obsessing about this. Sometimes saying it out loud made it easier to take her own advice. You've got too much to do and a city on edge with someone shooting at innocent people. If you spend all day obsessing about this, you won't get anything done. It's not an option today. By the time she arrived on Woodley Road Northwest, she had her emotions more or less under control and her focus on the task at hand. There'd be time later to fall apart over the other thing, which probably wasn't even a thing anyway. She parked on the pretty leafy street, lined with restaurants, and walked the short distance to where Freddie and Gonzo were conferring on the sidewalk, next to a bloodstain that had been taped off. Lindsay's team had already removed the body. Outside the tape line, the large group of curious bystanders watching the proceedings began to buzz when they saw Sam approach. People were always so curious about other people's misfortune. It made her sick. She ducked under the tape line. Morning, she said to Freddie and Gonzo.
Morning, Elsie, Gonzo said. He looked tired and stressed. Did you guys get any sleep?
Couple hours, Freddie said.
They called me on this because I was closest.
What do we know about the Vic? Sam asked, her gaze shifting to the bloodstain that told part of the story. Freddie consulted his notes. Caroline Brinkley, age 26, a waitress at a K Street lounge, was on her way home from work when she was shot in the back. Where's home? Sam asked. Freddie pointed to a 4-story building on the corner. She lives on the 2nd floor with a roommate named Delilah. We've notified her, and she gave us the contact information for Caroline's family in Minnesota. We asked her to let us make the call. We were waiting for you to see how you wanted us to proceed.
Ugh.
Sam realized she'd probably have to handle the call that no cop ever wanted to make. And they said rank had its privileges. Whatever. She took the piece of paper with the parents' names and phone number written on it from Freddie and stuffed it in her pocket. Canvas?
We've been up and down the entire block, Gonzo said. No witnesses. Archie is pulling the footage from our cameras in the area.
Anything else?
Lindsay thinks she didn't die immediately.
God damn it, Sam whispered. How long was she out here before someone called us?
30 minutes or more. She was dead by the time the first patrol officer arrived on the scene.
Sam blew out a deep breath full of frustration. I want these guys. I want them bad.
Patrol is stopping every black sedan they encounter, Gonzo said. So far, they've pulled over 9 different cars, but no sign of a 9mm or any other weapons.
Let's head back to the house and regroup, Sam said. I'll make the call to her parents on the way.
You want me to do it? Freddy asked.
She gave him a wan smile, appreciating that he'd offered to do something no one wanted to do. In fact, she ought to let him do it because he was way better at those sorts of things than she'd ever be. But she couldn't ask him to do something just because she didn't want to. Not something like this, anyway.
Thanks, but I've got it. Finish up here and meet me at HQ.
Right behind you, LT, Gonzo said.
Fighting back the feeling of dread over the call she needed to make to parents who had no idea their world was about to implode, Sam got in the car, dialed the number, and pressed send before she could lose her nerve. As the call connected, she shifted the car into park and drove to the intersection.
Hello?
A friendly-sounding woman said.
Mrs. Brinkley?
Yes, who's this?
This is Lieutenant Sam Holland, Metro PD in Washington, D.C. Mrs. Brinkley inhaled sharply.
Caroline?
Ma'am, I'm so sorry to have to tell you. The woman's piercing screams brought tears to Sam's eyes. God, she hated this. A man came on the line.
Who is this? He asked sharply.
Once again, Sam said, Lieutenant Sam Holland, Metro PD in Washington, D.C.
Oh, God, no. Not Caroline.
In the background, Sam could hear the mother's heartbroken sobs. I'm so sorry to have to tell you she was shot and killed early this morning. The man's guttural moan had Sam brushing at tears while trying to stay focused on the road. This sucked so bad, worse than any other part of her awful job. She had no idea how people survived receiving this kind of news.
Do you know who did it?
We don't, not yet. But we're working on it. Caroline was the 4th in a string of drive-by shootings throughout the district last night and this morning.
So, it was random. It wasn't anyone she knew.
We don't know that for sure yet, but we don't believe she knew the shooter.
Dear God, how can something like this happen? Caroline was a good girl. She worked hard and was back to school. She was trying to make something of herself.
I wish I had the answer to that question, but I'm going to do my best to find out who did this and bring them to justice for Caroline and the other victims.
What do we do now? Can we see her?
At a stoplight, Sam closed her eyes and tried to contain her tears. We can make that happen if you'd like to come here. I'll give you my number and you can call me to arrange it.
I'll take your number.
Hang on a minute while I get a pen. Sam waited for him and took a couple of deep breaths, hoping her heart would stop pounding. When he returned to the line, she gave him her number. Feel free to call me anytime. I'm sorry that I have to ask if she had any problems with anyone that you knew of.
No, not at all. She has lots of friends. Everyone likes her.
Ask your wife when you can. And if you think of anything that might be relevant, please call me.
We will.
I'll keep you informed about the investigation. I'm so sorry for your loss.
Thank you. We'll be in touch. I need to see to my wife.
Of course. The call ended with a click, and Sam had to hold back the urge to throw her phone out the window so she'd never again have to make a call like that one. She wiped the tears from her cheeks, infuriated to be such an emotional basket case. A pang of anxiety struck her in the gut. Emotional outbursts were a hallmark of pregnancy for her. At least they had been in the past. We're not thinking about that today. In the time it took to get to HQ, she got herself more or less under control and felt ready to face what promised to be a challenging workday. The usual media scrum outside the main door had doubled overnight, and since she was in no way prepared to face off with them, She drove around to the morgue entrance. Inside, the frigid AC provided a welcome respite from the stifling humidity. Sam went into the morgue to get an update. She found Lindsay presiding over Caroline's autopsy. "What have you got for me, Doc?" Sam asked, noting their victim had been a pretty young woman with auburn hair and fair skin. "Another 9mm slug to add to our collection?" She gestured to the evidence bag, containing the chunk of metal that had ended Caroline's life. "Gonzo said you don't think she died instantly?" "She definitely didn't. The bullet nicked an artery. I'd say it took about 20 minutes for her to bleed out." "Would she have been conscious?" "That's hard to say. I'm going to really hope she wasn't." "She had a can of pepper spray rolled up in her hand." Lindsay pointed to another evidence bag. "For all the good it did her." That little detail made Sam so mad and so sad for the young woman who'd seemingly done everything right. "No kidding." Lindsay glanced at Sam. "You called the family yet?" "Yeah, that was loads of fun. They want to come here to see her. I told them we'd make it happen." "Those poor people. They got their kid to 26, thought they were in the clear, and then this happens. I hate cases like this. People killing people simply for the thrill of it." "Is that the theory?" "It's all we've got to go on so far. Hopefully we'll have more by the end of the day." "Are you okay, Sam? You look a little red around the eyes." Yeah, you know, tough case. That's all it is." She'd learned the hard way to keep her suspicions about a possible pregnancy to herself. That way, there were fewer people to tell when it either turned out not to be true or when it went bad. And it always went bad. "I'm here if you need a friend. I hope you know that." "Of course," Sam said, appalled when tears threatened again. "For fuck's sake." "Gotta hit it. Shoot me your report when it's finished." "Will do." Sam headed for the pit, determined to keep her shit together and focus on the case, and only on the case. The four dead bodies in the morgue deserved her full attention, and they would get nothing less. "I want everyone in the conference room in 5, she said on the way into her office. "Jeannie," she said to Detective Jeannie McBride, "update the board with the Brinkley info and get Archie and someone from the gang unit down here."
"Yes, ma'am."
Sam unlocked her office door and flipped on the lights, immediately turning them off when the fluorescent glare hurt her eyes. She hated fluorescent light almost as much as she hated needles and airplanes. A knock on the door preceded Malone into her office. When he closed the door behind him, Sam had a sinking feeling this day was about to get worse, if that was possible. "What's up?"
"The chief asked me to talk to you," he said, as he made himself comfortable in her visitor chair. Her instincts rarely failed her.
"About?"
"Stall."
That one word could conjure up a million different thoughts for Sam. None of them good. "What about him?"
"We've heard from Forrester's office," he said of the U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia, "that Stall is willing to enter an Alford plea in your case."
Sam sat, because that was better than her legs going out from under her. So he's willing to concede they have enough to convict him, but he's not willing to admit his guilt? That son of a bitch.
"We thought you might say that."
Malone leaned in, elbows on his knees.
"Here's the thing, Sam. If you agree to the plea, he'll still go away for decades. You won't be put through the ordeal of the trial and having to relive what happened that day in Marissa Springer's basement."
The words "Marissa Springer's basement" brought it all back. The torture, the razor wire, the gasoline, the absolute certainty she was going to die at the hands of a man who'd once been her commanding officer and had come to despise her. "After what he put me through, I want to hear him say he did it. I want him to admit his guilt in a court of law, or there's no deal."
"I hear you, and I understand where you're coming from. But before we pass that on to Forrester's team, I want you to take 24 hours and think about it from all sides. Talk to Nick and your dad. See what they think. Just take a day, Sam." I don't need a day. I'm not going to change my mind. Still, take the day. Do it because I'm asking you to. I don't want you to have regrets later when there's no choice but to testify.
Affecting her best mulish expression, Sam stared at him, but he stared right back, the bastard. Fine. If it means so much to you, I'll sit on it for a day, but I won't change my mind.
Fair enough. What's next in the shootings investigation?
I'm gathering my team in the conference room to figure out our plan of attack.
I'll join you.
They walked together into the conference room, and once again, Sam found herself trying to keep her mind on the case where it belonged. Goddamned Stahl. Like she didn't have enough going on. He had to rear his ugly head, too. Let's walk through it from the top. Chapter 8. Sam approached the murder board and pointed to photos of each victim as she spoke of them. Jamal Jackson, age 15. Picked off in the Penn Branch neighborhood. He has a mother and two older sisters who adored him. Melody Kramer, age 31. Taken down in Eckington while walking on Quincy on her way home. She was married to Joe and had recently learned that she was expecting their first child after trying to get pregnant for a long time. Shrita Kapoor, age 35, a doctoral student in chemistry at Georgetown, hit on P Street Northwest while walking home with his wife, Raina, after a night out with friends. She was too despondent to speak to us. We'll need to get her statement today. And Caroline Brinkley, age 26, shot in the back on Woodley Road Northwest, sometime after 3 o'clock this morning, while walking home from her job at a K Street lounge. Dr. McNamara believes it took close to 30 minutes for her to bleed out. According to Caroline's father in Minnesota, she was a hard worker who was back to school and trying to better herself. Sam made eye contact with everyone in the room. Freddie, Gonzo, Jeannie, Archie, Malone, and the captain from the gang unit. What was his name again? Every one of these four people was alive this time yesterday. Jamal was at an IMAX movie at the Air and Space Museum because he was fascinated with space. Melody was walking on air because she and her husband finally had a child on the way. She joked about going to happy hour for a friend's birthday and how it wouldn't be quite so happy now that she couldn't have a drink. Shrita was brilliant. A chemistry doctoral student at Georgetown. Think about what that probably entailed. And Caroline, doing what thousands of other people do in this city every day. Walking home from work. She had a can of pepper spray rolled into her hand so she could fend off any would-be assailants. Sam took a moment to let that poignant detail register with the others. Jeannie looked down at the table, while Freddie stared at the back wall where Malone stood next to Chief Farnsworth. Witness accounts indicate we're looking for a black sedan, Sam said. I took the liberty of printing up a list of all the cars that meet that description in the D.C., Maryland, and Northern Virginia area, Jeannie said, holding a half-inch thick report. We'll start in the city and work our way out. To Malone and Farnsworth, she said, We're going to need help from patrol and overtime approved for our people. Done, Farnsworth said. Whatever you need to catch these bastards before they can hurt anyone else. I don't think this is over yet, whatever it is, Sam said.
I tend to agree with you, the gang captain said.
His name sat on the tip of her tongue.
What's your theory, Cap? She asked. This feels like some sort of initiation ritual, he said. We've seen it before. I've got my team talking to their contacts and seeing what they can find out.
While I agree that's a theory, to me this feels more professional. I'd like to look into a possible military or law enforcement angle. What are you thinking, Lieutenant? Jeannie asked. Whoever is doing this is one hell of a good shot. If they can take someone out from a speeding car and hit with deadly accuracy each time. There were no stray shots. In each case, there was only one, and it did the trick. Something tells me we're looking at more than your average gangbangers here.
I'd tend to agree, the gang captain said. But we're going to put our ears to the ground anyway and see if we hear anything.
Sam nodded in agreement with his plan. Please keep us in the loop.
Will do. Archie, what have you got from the Georgetown and Woodley shootings? She asked.
We're still sifting through our footage,
as well as the security footage we've pulled from multiple other sources in all four neighborhoods. It's a big job, and we're moving as fast as we can. I'll let you get back to it, Sam said. Nodding, he said, I'll let you know the second we find anything useful. Appreciate it. He left the room, and Sam returned her attention to her own team. We need someone to sift through the social media accounts of all our victims, Sam said.
I did it overnight, Gonzo said, producing a written report that he handed to her.
Sam raised an eyebrow in his direction.
Couldn't sleep, he said with a shrug that had her wondering if he was okay. I didn't see anything that stood out on any of their accounts. All routine, mundane stuff. Nothing that would get them murdered.
Thanks for closing that loop, Sam said.
No problem.
Let's divide up the black sedans in the district and start there. To Malone, she said, I'd like to borrow Beckett and O'Brien from patrol to help us today. Detective Green starts tomorrow, she said of Cameron Green, the detective she'd hired from Fairfax County after working with him on a case earlier in the summer. He would replace Detective A.J. Arnold, who had been killed in the line of duty last winter. Sam fully expected the arrival of Arnold's replacement to reopen the wound they had carried with them since the night he was killed right in front of Gonzo, his partner. That could be why Gonzo suddenly wasn't sleeping well again. She'd have to keep an eye on her sergeant and close friend.
Sure, Malone said. We can make that happen.
Before we head out, she said to her team, I want to make sure you're paying extra close attention to your surroundings. If these guys are looking to make a big score, a cop would be one hell of a prize. Watch your backs. They replied with, Yes, ma'am, and we will. Jeannie handed sheets of paper to Freddy, took a stack for herself and Gonzo, and made another pile for the two patrol officers Sam had requested. I'll give the rest to Captain Hernandez, Jeannie said of the patrol commander. Ask him to make this their top priority and to keep us informed.
Yes, ma'am, we'll do.
Jeannie left the conference room.
Someone needs to brief the media, Malone said. They're foaming at the mouth for info about the shootings.
They're always foaming for something, Sam replied. Can you handle it today? I'm too much of a distraction these days.
I'll take care of it.
Cruz, let's get to it.
I'm with you, Lieutenant.
Their first stop was the George Washington University Hospital, where they found Raina Kapoor in a fifth-floor room, guarded by a patrol officer Sam didn't recognize. She produced her badge, and Freddy did the same. The officer took a close look at them, as he was required to do. She took advantage of the opportunity to glance at his name tag, which said Keeney.
How is she?
Not great. They gave her something to help her sleep, but she's awake now and hysterical from what I can hear.
Is anyone with her?
He shook his head.
I asked if she wanted me to call someone for her, and the nurses did too. She said she wants Shri, no one else.
Sam steeled herself to contend with Raina's heartbreak before knocking on the door and entering the room where the blinds were drawn. Other than a small light over the bed, the room was dark. Raina lay on her side, her arms wrapped around a pillow as she sobbed helplessly.
Raina, Sam said, speaking softly. I'm Lieutenant Holland, Metro PD, and this is my partner, Detective Cruz.
I know you. I've seen you.
She spoke with a distinctive British accent. You catch all the killers. You'll catch my Shri's killer.
I'll do my very best. She wiped her face with the sheet. He can't be dead. It's not right. He was fine.
Can you tell us what happened?
Raina pressed a button to raise her bed slightly.
We were out at a club with some friends, people we know from school. It was our first time going out with them or going to a club. Shri, he said we needed to learn how to have fun. That no one should study as much as we do. I didn't want to go, but I went because he asked me to. Why didn't he listen to me?
I knew we shouldn't have gone.
Why did you feel that way?
I don't know.
She stared at the far wall, where the nurses had recorded her information on a dry erase board.
I had a feeling we shouldn't go.
Had something happened to make you feel that way?
Nothing in particular. I get these feelings.
Raina rubbed her abdomen.
Here. Often they turn out to be sound. I wish this wasn't one of those times.
She broke down again, her sobs echoing through the small room. Sam felt awful for pushing her to recount the most traumatic moment of her life, but she needed to know.
So you were walking home?
Raina nodded and wiped her face again.
We were walking on Peace Street. I wanted to take a cab, but Shri said the fresh air would be good for us after being in the club. He talked me into walking. Come on, he said. It's a beautiful night. He's very convincing when he sets his heart on something.
Her face crumpled when she seemed to realize she had spoken of him in the present tense.
He was talking about a big presentation he had to make this week at school. There was a loud noise and everything happened at once. He staggered and fell onto me, and I went down with him. I couldn't tell what was happening until I felt the blood. There was so much blood.
She shuddered and hiccuped as another sob erupted from her chest.
When did you realize he'd been shot? Sam asked.
I didn't know that until the police came. They told me that's what happened.
Were you injured in the fall?
I sprained my wrist, she said,
raising her arm to show Sam the brace she wore. Did you see the car or anything that might help us catch the people who did this?
She shook her head. The police said they came from behind us. I never saw a thing.
Glancing up at Sam, she said,
Will you find them? Will you make them pay for taking my sweet husband from me?
I'll do everything I can, I promise you.
Is there someone we could call to be with you? A friend or your family or anyone? No. My family and Shri's are in India. The only close friend either of us has here is each other. That was all we needed.
Sam couldn't imagine being so alone in the world. Surely the people you were with last night would come if you asked them to.
I don't know them well enough to ask for that.
If you write down the name and phone number of a friend, I'd be happy to make the call for you. Raina thought about that for a minute, and then reached for the pad.
Shri made me memorize the phone number of his lab partner, in case I couldn't get in touch with him. He got so absorbed in his work that sometimes I had to call her to reach him.
She wrote down the woman's name and number. Sam handed the notebook to Freddy, who left the room to make the call, and then she gave her card to Raina.
I have to ask. You say your family is in India, but you speak with a British accent.
Shri and I were educated in the United Kingdom. That's where we met. Our family sacrificed a lot to give us the best of everything, and we were looking forward to doing the same for them after we finished school. Now,
she sighed deeply.
I don't know what I'll do.
If you think of anything that might be helpful to the investigation, please call me any time. And if I can do anything at all for you, feel free to call.
You're very kind. Thank you.
I'm sorry this happened to you and your husband in our city.
So am I. We really loved it here. We were happy.
Sam wanted to tell her it was going to be okay, that she would survive this. But how could she be sure of either of those things?
I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you. Everyone has been so kind.
I'll leave you to get some rest. Sam stepped out of the room and encountered Keeney, noting his eager expression and handsome young face. The job hadn't broken him yet, but it would. It always did.
Are you all right, Lieutenant?
Yeah, tough one.
I don't know how you guys in Homicide can handle what you see every day. I wouldn't be able to do it.
You'd be surprised what you can do when you have to.
I guess. He shrugged. I give you credit, and I admire how good you are at it.
Thank you.
drained after her conversation with Reyna. Sam leaned against the wall and put her head back, taking a minute to regroup. In the distance, she heard whispering at the nurse's station, probably directed at her. A lot of whispering had been directed her way in recent weeks, and she ignored it the way she always did.
I don't know how you can deal with that either,
Keeney said in a low tone intended only for her. I deal with it by ignoring it. She thought about how she wished she could pop into a cubicle while she was here and ask for a pregnancy test. Hell, she could stop by their doctor friend Harry's office and ask him to do it for her. But doing either of those things would require her to share her suspicions with someone, and it had been hard enough to bring Shelby in on it. She probably ought to tell Nick, but the thought of disappointing him, again, had her deciding to wait until she knew for sure. Harry could put her out of her misery, but they had a case to work and no time to waste with a shooter on the loose and a city on edge. They had to operate under the assumption that the shooter wasn't finished with them yet, so there really was no time to tend to her personal business. Not today, anyway. Freddy rejoined her a few minutes later. The lab partner is on her way. She was glad we called. She said she's been frantic wondering where Reyna was and if she was all right. I'm oddly relieved to know that someone cares about her. Me too. Where to from here? I want to talk to Danita Jackson again. Let's go. To Keeney, she said, let us know if anything changes here or when they release her.
Will do, LT. Hope you catch the bastards fast.
Me too. They left the hospital and headed for the Jackson home, located a few blocks from where Jamal had been shot. On the way, Sam said, Stahl is offering to take an Alfred plea. That's a bunch of crap, Freddy said bluntly. Crap counted as a swear word to him.
What are you going to do?
They told me to take 24 hours, talk it over with Nick and my dad, but I want to hear him say he did it.
Can't say I blame you after what he put you through.
A trial would be ugly. For me, Nick, the department.
Who cares? You're the one who was in that room with Stahl. And you're the only one who matters when it comes to making this kind of decision.
His fierce support made her smile.
Thanks. Whatever you decide, we'll have your back.
That means a lot. Danita's two-story townhouse had pots of flowers on the porch, and other blooms lining the sidewalk. You can tell a lot about people by how they take care of their homes, Sam said to Freddy, as they approached the gate to the white picket fence that surrounded the small front yard.
True.
Danita, she takes care of her place. She puts in the time to make it pretty and welcoming. If she takes that kind of time with her home, imagine the effort she's put into her children.
I don't think I'm going to have kids.
Sam stopped short and spun around to face him.
What?
Since when are you not having kids?
For a while now, actually. Ellen and I have talked about it. She mostly agrees with me.
About what?
That we don't want to bring kids into this crazy world. What happened to Jamal? If that ever happened to a kid of mine?
He shook his head.
All my life I've heard it said that God doesn't give you more than you can handle. That would be way more than I could handle. It would ruin me.
This was not the time or the place, in front of a grieving family's home, to have this conversation. But they were having it anyway. You're letting the job color your thinking. To us, this shit happens far too often. And it does happen too often. Way too often. But we see the worst of it. We don't see the millions of other people who go through their lives without ever having something like what happened to Jamal happen to them. Millions, Freddy. The odds of your child being randomly gunned down on a street are astronomical. He's more likely to win the lottery than be killed the way Jamal was.
It's not just Jamal. It's so much more than that.
Believe it or not, I get it. I really do. I worried incessantly about Scotty and something happening to him before he had Secret Service protection. I still worry about it, even with the army that surrounds him. I think about all the things that could happen. But you know what? Freddy tilted his head.
What?
The pure, sweet joy he brings to our lives is so much greater than the sum of our fears. He's the best thing to ever happen to either of us. And I wouldn't trade the love I feel for him for all the peace of mind in the world. I would hate for you to miss out on the unbelievable experience of being a parent because you're afraid of what might happen. But even more than that, I'd hate for you to let fear run your life. You'd miss out on one of life's greatest joys, Freddy. Don't deny yourself that because of the awful shit we see on this job. Please don't. He shifted his weight from one foot to the other. You make good points, as always. Normally, I'd have something to say to that, such as, of course I do. But this is too important for jokes. Promise me you won't rule it out entirely before you're even married. I promise I'll talk to Ellen some more about what you said. Fair enough. Sam glanced at the white house with the black shutters. Let's get this over with. Hey, Sam. She turned to face him again. Yeah? Thanks. For what you said and everything. I know it's a tough topic for you. It was tougher before I had Scotty, she said. Again, trying to forget about the possibility she might be pregnant. He's made a lot of things that were wrong right again. He's a great kid. Yes, he is. And you'd have great kids, too. You'd be a wonderful father. You really think so? She rolled her eyes at him. Yes, Freddy, I really think so, and so does everyone else who knows you. My dad told me once that the worst thing I could do is bring the job home with me. Don't do that. You'll always regret it if you make decisions for your own life based on the shit we see out here. Point taken. He flipped the latch on the gate and gestured for her to go first. Chapter 9. They went up the stairs to the porch, and Sam rang the doorbell. Misty came to the door, looking like she hadn't slept. Her eyes were red and swollen from crying.
Hi.
Hi, Misty. We were wondering if we might have a word with you, your mother, and your sister.
Yeah, sure. I guess.
Is this a good time? She shrugged.
As good as any.
Stepping aside, she ushered them into the house. It went against everything Sam believed in to turn her back on anyone while on the job, but she bent her rules out of deference to the girl's obvious grief.
They're in the back.
Misty gestured for them to lead the way down a narrow hallway that led to a bright, sunny kitchen with yellow walls. The cheerful atmosphere was in stark contrast to the pervasive grief that clung to the people gathered around the table and standing against the counter. At quick glance, Sam counted 10 people, including Danita and Tamara.
Mama, Lieutenant Holland is here to see you, Misty said.
Danita, who'd had her head in her hands, looked up at them, her face ravaged. She'd aged 10 years overnight. Have you found the person who shot my baby? I'm afraid not, Sam said. But we're working on it. I wondered if I might have a private word with you and your daughters. Okay. Danita glanced at the others and tipped her head, asking them to leave the room. More than one of them took a good long look at Sam as they filed out. She recalled Nick's goldfish analogy, which was a fitting way to describe how people looked at her these days. They felt like they knew her, and him. But in truth, they only knew what the media reported, which wasn't much. Sam took a seat at the table while Freddy remained standing. What do you want to know? Danita took a tissue from a box on the table and blew her nose. Yesterday I asked if there was anything going on in any of your lives that could have led to Jamal being shot. Now that you've had some time to think about it, perhaps you may have something more to tell us. A flash of anger crossed Danita's face. We have nothing to tell you. Tamara and Misty looked down at their hands on the table, immediately rousing Sam's suspicions. Ladies, do you have anything you'd like to say? And I'll remind you that withholding information from a homicide investigation is a crime. I'd like you to leave my home now, Danita said, glaring at Sam. Following a hunch, Sam remained seated,
her gaze firmly fixed on the two young women. After a minute or two of charged silence, Tamara began to cry.
Just tell her, Misty said.
What are you talking about? Danita snapped at her daughter. Misty looked at her sister.
I'm so sorry, Mama, Tamara said between sobs. It's all my fault that Jamal is dead.
What have you done? Danita asked in a whisper. Tamara cried so hard she couldn't speak. Danita looked to Misty. Start talking. Right now. Misty swallowed hard.
She's been seeing Trace.
Danita slammed her hand on the table, startling everyone. Are you fucking kidding me? Tamara wailed, sobs racking her petite body.
I'm so sorry, Mama. I never thought...
Danita stood and looked down at her daughters with fire in her eyes. I was very clear with you that he was off limits, Tamara. And you, she said to Misty. You knew this and didn't tell me? Sam cleared her throat. Could someone please tell me who Trace is? Trace Simmons is a gangbanger who grew up with my daughters. They were expressly forbidden to have anything to do with him. Sam glanced at Freddy and saw his eyes widen with shock. He too remembered Trace was an associate of Darius Gardner, the gangbanger who'd shot at them the week of Sam's wedding. They'd been trying to talk to Gardner about a possible lead in Sam's father's case.
I love him, Mama.
Danita scoffed. Like hell you love him. He's a violent, drug-dealing piece of shit, and you can do better. Tamara clutched her chest, and Sam realized she was hyperventilating. She jumped up. Get me a bag or something for her to breathe into. With shaking hands, Misty got up, opened a drawer, and withdrew a brown lunch bag that Sam placed over Tamara's face. Take some deep breaths, Sam said, rubbing the girl's back. You have to calm down. Tamara did as Sam directed, blowing into the bag repeatedly until she began to breathe more regularly again. Sam pulled some tissues from a box on the table and handed them to Tamara, who wiped her face and blew her nose. Can we get her some water? Misty saw to the request, while Danita continued to glare at Tamara, her fury palpable. If you love him, Danita said disdainfully, why would he want to kill your brother? Sam had the same question and appreciated Danita asking it. Tamara took a drink from the glass Misty gave her.
I told him. I said my mama didn't want me to see him, and if she found out, I'd be in a lot of trouble. He said things. Rude things about you.
Another sob choked her.
I told him he couldn't talk about you that way, and he slapped me. He said no one tells him what to do. After that, I wouldn't talk to him or take his calls. He told me I was going to be sorry for ignoring him. No one ignores him.
You stupid, stupid little girl, Danita hissed. Why do you think I told you to stay away from him? Any man who would hit you, disparage your mother, and make threats doesn't deserve 5 minutes of your time.
I know that now.
You knew it before. I told you this would happen. Sam glanced at Freddy, using her eyes to ask him to remove Danita from the room. Mrs. Jackson, he said, let's get some air. Fortunately, she allowed Freddy to lead her from the room after shooting another disgusted glance at her daughters. Both girls seemed to relax ever so slightly after she was gone. Let's talk about Trace, Sam said. An hour later, Sam and Freddy left the Jackson home with a new thread to pull. Get me the gang unit captain on the line. What's his name again?
Harrison.
Sam snapped her fingers. That's it! I couldn't remember his name to save my life. Just ask me, your seeing eye partner. I have all the answers. Yeah, yeah. Intense in there, huh?
I feel sorry for Danita, Freddy said. She's done everything right with her kids. But when they become legal adults, it's harder to control their every move.
I feel sorry for Tamara. She grew up with Trace. Knew him before the gang got its hooks in him. She's still looking for the boy she knew in the man he is now, and hasn't figured out that boy is long gone. Brings it all back. That day with Gardner, his threats to Faith Miller, the rape charge that didn't stick. Until we nailed his ass to the wall, Sam said, smirking. That we did. What do you want me to say to Harrison? Ask him to have his team pick up Simmons for us and get him to HQ. Also, check to see if he or any of his known associates drives a black sedan. On it. While Freddie made his call, she contacted Captain Malone to update him on the info they'd gotten from Tamara Jackson, and to request a warrant to search Simmons's place.
I'll get the warrant moving now. Good work, Lieutenant. This guy could be the key to the whole thing.
Let's hope so. What are you hearing on the search for the car?
Slow going. We're going one by one to rule out every black sedan in the city. Did you know that black is a rather popular car color?
I'd heard that rumor. Keep me posted if anything pops.
You'll be the first to know.
As Sam ended her call, Freddie finished up with Harrison. What'd he say? She asked. He blew out a low whistle when I mentioned Simmons's name. He knows the guy well. Was more than happy to arrange for pickup and transport to HQ. And he's hoping we've got something on him that'll put him in jail for, and I quote, the rest of this lifetime and the next. Good to know we have his full support. We definitely do. I relayed what Tamara told us, and he said it fits Simmons's usual M.O. when he thinks he's been disrespected. He said he's not sure about the black sedan, but he'll have his people check on that. I like the feel of this thread, Sam said, as she drove toward HQ. Again, thankful for the lack of traffic. I like it a lot. You know how I hate to be a buzz killer. Sam rolled her eyes at him. You love to kill my buzz. What's it going to be this time? It's just that I can't help but wonder, if Trace wanted to get even with Tamara for disrespecting him, I can see him taking out Jamal. But why would he take out three other people? He's already fully initiated, so it can't be about that. Maybe he was trying to make Jamal's killing appear random? That's possible, but it seems like overkill. No pun intended. Sam had to agree with him, even if she didn't want to. You are indeed a buzzkiller, Detective Cruz. At least I'm consistent. That's one of my lines, and it's fully copyrighted. You're not allowed to use it without prior written permission. Did you make up your own rules to every game you played as a kid? She shot him a disdainful look. What do you think? That you're lucky you survived childhood? Sam snorted out a laugh. My sisters often wanted to kill me. Her phone rang, and she took the call from Nick. Hey, babe. Hey, he said, sounding gruff and sleepy, as if he'd just woken up. She wished she was with him and not chasing down a killer.
You left without saying goodbye.
I did say goodbye. I even kissed you.
It doesn't count if I'm not awake to enjoy it.
I'll make it up to you later. Freddie put his hands over his ears, making Sam laugh. Not in front of the children, he said.
What's funny?
Freddie trying to hide from my side of this conversation. Maybe I should be specific about how I'm going to make it up to you. As Nick said,
yes, please.
Freddie said, don't you dare. Sam lost it laughing, thankful to them for the levity they provided, at times when she needed it most. Any sign of the boy child yet?
Nope, Nick said. He's taking full advantage of his last day of vacation. I was thinking I would try to find something fun to do today. Maybe catch a Feds game if we can make it happen.
He'd love that. Wish I could join you.
Really? He asked dryly.
Well, not for the game so much as the company. Have you heard anything else about the situation?
Nothing new. I'll let you know if I do.
Please don't. Henceforth, I'm operating on a need-to-know basis. If I don't need to know, or if you don't need to tell me, don't. I plan to keep my head as deeply planted in the sand as I possibly can for as long as I possibly can.
Good plan, babe. I'll see you when you get home.
It'll probably be late.
No worries. We'll still let you in.
Sam smiled at the witty reply. He was so cute and funny and sweet, and she loved him with a desperation that would have unnerved her before he showed her that it was okay to love so deeply.
Love you.
Love you too. Be careful out there.
I always am.
You two are so funny, Freddy said after she ended the call. We are not.
You are.
And it's great that you can laugh and be normal with everything that's happening. We don't know how to be any other way but normal. That's going to get you through whatever comes your way. You'll be able to handle it because you have each other.
You're very philosophical today, young Freddy.
You have no idea how much your friends admire both of you, or how proud we are to be your friends. Ellen and I were talking about it on the way home from the beach. She said how cool it was that we were hanging out with the vice president and his wife, and they're just Sam and Nick, our friends.
It's very nice of her, and you, to say. We try to keep it real. I can't imagine either of us getting caught up in the nonsense that goes along with his job.
A lot of people would be caught up, and it'd change who they are.
I like who I am, and I particularly like who Nick is.
He cracked up. It's admirable that you're remaining true to yourselves and who you are underneath it all when everyone in the country, hell, most of the world, knows who you are.
Sam cringed. Don't remind me of that.
Sorry, but remember the upside. You'll never have to work undercover again.
There is that, especially in light of the way my last undercover assignment ended.
She would never forget the shootout at the crack house that had ended Quentin Johnson's life. Do I need to remind you again that the blame for Quentin's death belongs squarely with his drug-dealing scumbag father and not with you?
Nah, I got it. I still wish it hadn't happened, though. He was a cute kid who had the supreme misfortune of being born to scumbags.
Very true.
They arrived at HQ and used the morgue entrance to avoid the mob gathered out front.
What'll we do when they move their circus to this door? Freddy asked.
Bite your tongue. They know we'll never talk to them anywhere but outside the main door. If they ever move their show over here, we'll have to ask the department to get us a helicopter so we can land on the roof.
That'd be cool. I get to drive it.
As if.
Sam rolled her eyes at him and headed into HQ, making a beeline for the pit.
Who's got something for me?
Nothing yet, LT, Jeannie said from her cubicle. Patrol is working its way through the owners of the black sedans, and I'm looking for retired sharpshooters in the area. I might have something on that, but I'm not quite there yet.
Keep me posted, Sam said. We need to keep up the pace. I'm not convinced their campaign was a one-night deal.
We're moving as fast as we can, Jeannie said.
Sam went into her office and read through the various reports that had come in while she was out. They revealed nothing particularly helpful, which left her feeling frustrated. Then she turned her attention to the reams of information they had on Trace Simmons, who'd been in and out of the system since he was 15 on a series of escalating offenses. What had begun as shoplifting and simple assault as a teenager had led to multiple drug offenses, felony assault, and domestic assault. The guy was a prince among men. Archie popped his head into her office.
Hey, you got a minute?
Sure, come on in.
I was going through the various feeds from the shootings, and I was able to isolate one number on the plate.
He handed over a sheet of paper that showed the number 8 clearly visible as the last number.
You see how it looks blue? That means it's a district plate. I took the liberty of running a list of black sedans with district plates that end in the number 8. There are 17 of them.
Wow, that's fantastic work. You just saved us hours. She called for Jeannie.
Yes, ma'am?
Sam handed her the page that Archie had given her, and he handed off the list of cars. Let's get patrol to focus on these 17 cars.
That narrows it down from hundreds to a few, Jeannie said to Archie, as he headed out of the office. Thanks, Lieutenant.
Happy to help, he said on the way out. Let me know what you find.
I'll get this info out to patrol, Jeannie said as she left the office.
Sam's stomach growled, letting her know it was almost time for lunch. And then her cell phone rang.
Holland.
Lieutenant Holland?
A female voice said.
I'm calling on behalf of U.S. Attorney Tom Forrester. He would like to see you in his office tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Are you available?
Sam's stomach fell and hit the ground.
Yes, I can do that.
We'll see you then.
When the line went dead, Sam found the number for Nick's friend Andy in her contacts.
Hi there, Sam, he said. What's going on?
Sorry to bother you on a holiday, but I got a call from Forrester. He wants to see me tomorrow at 2. Can you and Kurt be there? She asked of the criminal defense attorney from Andy's office, who'd attended her first meeting with Forrester about the Ramsey situation.
We'll be there.
Do I need to be worried?
It's hard to say, but if I had to guess, there's no way the grand jury is going to indict you in light of who you are to the city and the country.
Sam clung to his assurances with everything she had.
Thanks for the optimism. I'll see you tomorrow.
We'll be there. She put down the phone and dropped her head into her hands, thinking about the circle of life in her world. Stahl took her hostage and tormented her with razor wire and gasoline, and was looking for an Alford plea, while she waited to find out whether she'd be indicted for punching Sergeant Ramsey for inferring that Stahl should have finished the job when he had the chance. She could live without the whole mess coming to a head. At the same time, she had a shooter picking off innocent people in her city. Not to mention the goings-on in the White House and the possibility that...
No. Don't think about that. Do not think about that.
Her brain was going to melt out her ears at any moment.
Freddy came to the door.
Sam?
She looked up at him.
Yeah?
What's wrong?
Everything?
Nothing. What have you got?
He eyed her skeptically because he knew her too well.
The gang unit has delivered Simmons to interview too.
Sam took a moment to get her head on straight, shaking off the call from Forrester's office. Her thoughts about Stahl and the proposed plea, the Nelson mess, and everything else that would keep her from doing what needed to be done in this interrogation.
You are sure you're okay?
Yep. She made a spot decision to keep the info about Forrester to herself for now. No sense getting everyone wound up about that, when she needed them focused on the case. Taking the file on Simmons with her, she got up to follow Freddy to interview too. Chapter 10. Outside the interrogation room, Freddy said,
"How are we playing this?"
"Follow my lead."
"That doesn't tell me much."
"It tells you what you need to know, detective." His scowl would have made her laugh if she hadn't been trying to bring her badass persona into the room with her. A little intimidation went a long way in situations such as this. Two detectives from the gang unit were keeping Simmons company in the room.
"We'll take it from here, gentlemen," Sam said. "Appreciate your assistance."
"Yes, ma'am," one of them said. "We'll be outside if you need us."
The meaningful way he said that, as if he was certain they would need them, spiked Sam's anxiety. Simmons glowered at her from his seat at the table. He had one of those tattoos that came out of the collar of his t-shirt and went up around his neck. A serpent, maybe. How anyone got the big idea to tattoo their neck and face was beyond her. Did they ever consider they might one day apply for a job in which face tattoos were discouraged? Although a banger like Simmons probably didn't need a job to make a living.
"I ain't saying a word to you until my lawyer gets here."
"Great," Sam said. "Let's go get some lunch, Detective Cruz."
"Did someone say lunch?" Freddy asked,
following her lead with his usual perfection.
"Wait," Simmons said. "How long is that gonna take? I got shit to do."
"Depends on when your lawyer shows up. You should know how this works by now."
His scowl spoke volumes. Before he could say anything more, Sam herded Freddy out of the room. To the two gang unit detectives, she said, "He lawyered up. Let us know when or if his attorney arrives."
"Will do."
Freddy followed her back to the pit.
"Don't get me wrong, because I'd always rather eat lunch than deal with thugs. But could I ask why you didn't try to get him to talk now the way we usually do?"
"It's like this, young Freddy.
If he's our shooter, he's off the streets for now.
Ah, gotcha.
It won't kill us to wait an hour or two, or 10, especially since we know he's never going to